Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
A very dear friend of mine had no children for 5 years. He was a Talmud of a Tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael. He comes into his Rebbe and his Rebbe asks him, how's it going? He says, it's not going good. The Rebbe asks him, what's going on? He says, I don't have children for 5 years. His Rebbe jumped up and said in Yiddish, Was feist a Mensch, was ist denn gut? Sündigen ist schlecht. What does a person know what's considered good? To sin and mess up for eternity. That's bad. Rabbi Ruchim, the Mir Mashkiach in Das Teure, Pashen Schlach, brings a fascinating story. There was a simple Jew in Vilna in the times of the Vilna Goyen who suddenly began fasting what is called the Taina Safsoke, a fast where they eat Shalashudas on Shabbos and then without making Abdullah, fast without a drop of food or water for 6 consecutive days and nights until Kiddush the following Friday night. This practice is brought down in Kabbalah. The townspeople went to the Vilna Goyen and asked him, what is the pshat in this tzaddik who is living miraculously? A simple Jew. Nobody knew him as a great Talmud Chochem. And suddenly, these enormous madrigas, the Vilna Goyen said he would look into the matter. What he found out was this. After fasting almost 6 days, the man would go to the mikveh Erev Shabbos. The town's children had somehow found out about it, and they would come to see this great tzaddik emerge from the mikveh like a malach. The Vilna Goyen said, chase away all the children of the town, and he will lose his power. He was being energized through COVID. COVID is such a tremendous force that it gave him sustenance. Says Rabbi Yeruchim to the Bochrim in the Mir Yeshiva. At that time, nobody wanted to marry a Yeshiva Bochr. Most of Lithuania, there could have been 12 children in the family, and most of them were either Zionists, Socialists, Communists, or Yiddishists. There was almost nothing left of Frumkeit. Most were abandoning the Derech HaTorah. To be a Talmud Chochem sitting in yeshiva today, he says, is bizyonis, terrible busha, terrible shame. And he says, if COVID could give the energy to fast from Shabbos to Shabbos, imagine the opposite extreme of busha, how hard that is. And therefore, in a sense, every bocher in this Miri yeshiva is greater than Rebbe Akiva Eiger, because Rebbe Akiva Eiger had COVID from his town as the Rav, COVID from the entire world, asking him shailus and aloche, and you tired bocherim are suffering busha to be b'nei teire. The fum tzara angre, the reward is in proportion to the tzar. It is well worth reading the book Sabata about Rebbe Eliezer Nanis, now available in 2 volumes in Hebrew and reprinted in English. Rebbe Eliezer Nanis, for 40 years, was alone under the communists, a Yid alone. He never had children. For 20 years, he was in slave labor camps. He never worked on Shabbos and was therefore thrown into terrible dungeons every Shabbos. Many times, they tried to kill him, to freeze him to death, and worse. He would never eat from the kitchen, so he ate only the doughy, pasty bread, which was torturous on the stomach, causing ulcers and worse. He fasted the entire Pesach when the matzahs didn't arrive. He was meiser nefesh. He gave everything away. It seems that he paskened that the entire situation of communist Russia was a shas hashmad, a time of religious persecution, and therefore he understood that in a shas hashmad, every act demands meiser nefesh. What gave a yid alone, totally alone amongst Gentiles, the strength to go on? He lived with Teres Chabad, with Einoit Mulvandoi. There's nothing but Hashem. Hashem was real to him. He lived with the depth of Bitochin, the knowledge that a Yid is not a random piece of dust. Every Machshava Dibe Maise, in every situation, turns into eternity. And that's what gave him strength. The entire Sefer HaTanya was engraved in his cognition. And amazingly, this Yid never shaved his beard, and miraculously 20 years later, as he was about to be freed from the camp, the prisoners decided to kill him, and one man remembered him because of his long beard, and that is how he was saved. His Mesiras Nefesh not to shave his beard and remain looking Jewish is what eventually saved him. When a person says to himself, because I was a fool, and because I didn't plan accordingly, and because I did this wrong and that wrong, therefore my life was destroyed, that's really the flip side of the exact gaive of saying, Koichi va'oitzim yodi osalias achayel azeh, my strength and the power of my hand made me this wealth. Just as one forgets that it's Hashem who gives wealth, the flip side is equally true. Tipshusi osalias atzar azeh, my foolishness brought me this suffering, is the same gaive. Although the pasuk in Mishlei does say that if you do not repair a hole in the roof, eventually the house will collapse. But for most people, they use the tools they have been given by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And some people did not get the same tool as others, because everything Hashem does is wrapped into teva, melubish b'teva. Yes, it could be that someone who's attractive will make a nicer shidduch, but not because he was attractive did he make a nicer shidduch, because Hashem wanted him to make the shidduch. Hashem made him attractive. Everything is the opposite of how it appears. Hashem gave him Tishrin. Hashem made him capable so that he should be the best boch on the market, because he was meant to do that shidduch. Everything is the opposite because Hashem in his Hashgach El Yoyne wanted it to be so, and therefore the chizik has to begin here, that it's not random. One does not have to be a Breslover to accept the Chochmah from the Heiliger Rav Nachman. At the end of Likutei Maran, Rav Nachman makes a startling observation. He says people speak of two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Olam Haba, he says, we believe in. As far as Olam Hazeh, perhaps it exists somewhere. But over here it's clearly Gehenim. Ki kulam meleim yisurim gedoilim tamid. Because everyone is constantly filled with great yisurim. Ein nimtza shum Olam Hazeh klal. There's no such thing as this world at all. What is life, if we define it honestly? A person enters, time passes, and then he leaves. There are experiences along the way, and those experiences are meant to be transformed into eternity. Our actions through mitzvahs, our words through chesed, nichum aveilim, gemilus chasodim, and most of all, our thoughts, emunah, love, and fear of Hashem, accepting Yisurim with love. All of these live in the mind, and all of these become eternal. But viewed from the lens of Olam Hazeh, life is a journey into oblivion. There's nothing really here, it's just passing time. The wealthiest people, the most powerful government officials, Reb Nachman, would say always, again and again, that their entire lives are full of pain, physical and emotional. Nobody has Olam Hazeh, says Reb Nachman. Take a penetrating look, he says, into the soul of someone who appears to have it all, and you will find who gamkein molei kas umachoibos har betomid. He too is constantly filled with anger and many pains in countless forms and situations. Kanire b'chush, as we clearly see. This includes all of humanity. There is no way out. Ein shum eitzev v'tachbule lihinotzel mi'omol v'yog minazeh, except by running to Hashem, doing mitzvahs and learning Torah. The focus always has to be, how can I turn the current situation I am alive in into eternal life? When a person is going through hardship, the initial reaction has to be that there are mitzvahs in this situation. And if there are mitzvahs, it's eternity. The Bach in Shulchan Aruch HaRechaim on the Bracha of Dayan Emes teaches a remarkable idea. There's a mitzvah of Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ahavah, accepting Yisurim with love, says the Bach, based on the Lashon of the Tur. Nobody wants Yisurim. Everybody davens not to have pain. But when Yisurim comes, there's a special mitzvah of accepting those Yisurim with simcha and love, which means the Yisurim now becomes like matzah, like esrig, object of a mitzvah. The Yisurim per se, of course you don't want, but the mitzvah of accepting those Yisurim, it's like splitting hairs. The mitzvah can be performed with love, although you don't want the Yisurim. What does Hashem want from the Yisurim? Maybe He wants the betochen, believing that Hashem is observing you, that Hashem is doing it for a purpose, or tefillah, Kodesh Baruch Hu misabel tefillah shel tzadikim, the Holy One desires the praise of the righteous. We think that tefillah, born of pain, is not a success, that we are just davening to get rid of the pain. But the opposite is true. Chazal tell us that on the eternal scale, developing a relationship in which Hashem becomes real to you, the davening itself is dvarim ha'imdim berum v'yishal olam, matters that stand at the very heights of the world. Why? Because you are bypassing the physicality of creation and connecting to the Creator. That's the entire reason we are here, to penetrate and realize that Hashem is hiding and we are finding Him. Hide and go seek. Hashem is a keil mistater, a hidden Hashem, and He wants us to believe that He's observing us. The way to build that into our cognition is to be forced into a state where we are completely lost and only Hashem can help us. And if we are so lost that we break down crying to Hashem, Sharei demo isloi ninanu, the gates of tears are never locked, then you could connect to Hashem. And finally, we'll end off with the unbelievable words of Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He spoke at the Shloshim of a person who had lost Rachmana Litzlan, 7 of his children in the fire. He said something unbelievable. He said that sometimes when a person is given insurmountable yisurin, it's an invitation. It's an invitation for the person to change his focus entirely away from Olam Hazeh and already detach to Hashem forever. Because the level of pain is so great that it is impossible to function any longer on a simple level. So it becomes an invitation. Olam cha tireh b'chayecha. Transcend the physical pain. Live on a higher plane. Most people are not tested, Rachman Lutzon, with such a test. But there are different levels, and the pain is dear until Mashiach comes, and therefore we need to strengthen ourselves and to strengthen others. The Heilige Kloismager Rav said a Meirdi Gevarat on Bris Mila, Chazal tell us, Ki Alecha Hoy Ragnu Kol Ayoim Nechshavnu Kitzoyim Tivcha. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. Chazal explained that Hoyragnu Kalayoyim, we are killed all day long, refers to the mitzvah of Mila. The Chasam Sofer famously asks, he himself was a mohel, and nobody ever died from it. What can Chazal possibly mean? So the Kloismager Rebbe, Baal Shefa Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, answers this question from what happened during the Holocaust. Yidden would obtain foreign documents and dress as non-Jews to escape detection. And yet when the Nazis suspected that someone walking down the street might be a Jew, they would pull him into the nearest building and check for a bris milah, and they would tear him apart, Rachman al-Litzlan. After the Holocaust, a person could think to himself, if I give my child a bris milah, I'm making him susceptible to the worst tortures, removing any possibility of hiding or escaping. That is what Chazal mean, hoyragnu kol ayoim zu mitzvah milah. The bris takes away any escape route, and we commit to it, we commit to die al kiddush Hashem as well. And that is why milah is so great that we say, in the bracha, tzavei lehatzel yedidus sheireinu mishachas l'mam brisoy ashesom b'sereinu, that he commanded to save the beloved because of the bris. The Marsha explains it refers to the Gemara in Erevin that Avram Avinu stands at the door of the entrance of Gehenim and doesn't allow those that have a mila to remain there. The Torah forbids k'sevis kaka, a tattoo. And we find a parallel principle throughout the Torah. Hashem says, Ki li ha'aretz, the earth belongs to me. He wants us to remember Shemitah Yovel, Matnas Anim, that the earth is his, and mezuzah on the door that the house is his. So possibly the prohibition of Ksevis Kaka means your body does not belong to you. You have no rights over it to engrave anything permanent upon it. The only permanent Chesam is the Chesam of Ois Bris Kedesh, the seal of the Holy Covenant of Mila, declaring that you're an Eved Hashem, his servant, and that your Guf is for Hashem, to serve Hashem. And therefore, our whole life is a life of Mesiras Nefesh. Whatever Hashem dishes out to us, we will still remain steadfast in our service of Hashem. We'll never veer off track, regardless of how hard it is, and we'll always remember our bond and the Fum Tzaro Agro.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.